Thank you. I'm pinch hitting for Zhejiang Li. Zhejiang Li is a visiting scientist working with Li Wang Ma at the ARS in Fort Collins. And I'm talking today about implementing the soil freezing processes into the RZ Shaw model. In the way of an outline, this is it. After a brief introduction, we'll talk about the model description and experimental setup, and then look at some simulations of total water content, liquid water content, and soil temperature, and then summarize. Winter time processes in frozen soils are critical to a wide areas of the world, particularly in the northern hemisphere. This picture shows permafrost and seasonally frozen soil areas in the northern hemisphere, and as you can see, it covers a wide range of latitudes there. These processes are critical for overwinter crops such as winter wheat and perennial forage grasses, particularly in areas of China. It's a common practice to irrigate prior to the winter or even in the winter, so having a model that addresses these processes is critical for management. One model that is known for its capabilities of simulating soil freezing and thawing is the Shaw model. It has detailed provisions for soil freezing and thawing. It does have a detailed approach to simulating plant transpiration. However, it does not have any plant growth model in the model, and has limited capabilities for management options. On the other hand, the root zone water quality model is a comprehensive model for assessing environmental impacts such as plant growth, soil chemical processes, nutrient processes, and various other management processes. However, its heat transport routine is fairly simple and does not include provisions for soil freezing and thawing. So we're taking the best of these two models, coupling them together to create the RZ Shaw model, which uses the heat transfer model within the Shaw model and then the management options within the root zone water quality model. The experimental site was in northeast China in the Hebei province. Land use in the area is mixed with cultivated land, forest land, and grassland. However, grassland constitutes the large proportion of the land area. The site was at the National Grassland Ecosystem Station in the Hebei province, where the climate is a semi-arid monsoon climate. Annual average temperature is just 1 degree C, getting down to an average January temperature of close to minus 19 degrees C. Annual precipitation is about 300 to 400 millimeters, and annual pan evaporation is quite high, indicative of the semi-arid climate. Here's the soil that we're working with in the area. We looked at soil layers down through the soil profile. It's a fairly uniform sandy loam soil down to 60 centimeters, where it's underlined by a diluvial deposit. We had a number of treatments at this site. However, we're focusing today in the talk on two of those treatments, a non-irrigated treatment and then winter irrigation, where a single irrigation was applied just prior to winter to bring the soil the top 60 centimeters up to field capacity. The crop was a Siberian wild rye. This is a fairly common grass forage in the area. Because it has good drought tolerance, high cold tolerance, is common at an elevation of 2,000 to 4,000 meters, and is well adapted to the coarse to middle textured soils. So it's considered to be a very excellent grass for this area of China. Here's a picture of the plot setup. This is the irrigated site with the sprinkler system and a water meter to monitor how much water was applied to the plot. in the way of measurements. For total water content, we use TDRs and Kimmel Scientific 605 probes to measure total water content when the water, when the soil was not frozen, and then use gravimetric sampling during the frozen period. And then liquid water content used these same probes, and those were available throughout the winter season. Although they were read manually every three to five days. Soil temperature, also read manually every 3 to 5 days, and located at these depths. And then we had hourly weather observations. Incoming shortwave radiation was estimated from sunshine hours. And then for the residue, a 3x3 area of above ground residue was sampled. Here's a picture of the plot set up, the TDR probes and thermocouple sensors in the soil profile. So the RZ Shaw and Shaw were simulated for the 2005-2006 winter season and is calibrated to that, and then validated using the 2006-2007 winter season. Soil parameters, the RZ Shaw uses the Brooks Corey moisture release curve. The Shaw model uses the Campbell. However, if your residual saturation is zero, then they're essentially the same equation. Prior to calibration, the model parameters were adjusted based on the 2005-2006 field observations, in which when ice is, well, based on the approach published by myself in the Vadozone Journal, when ice is present and neglecting osmotic potential, the matrix potential is directly related to the freezing point depression, and then that can be related to the liquid water content. So if you have sensors of both liquid water content and temperature within the soil profile in situ, you can estimate your soil hydraulic properties based on these measurements. And then subsequently, the saturated hydraulic conductivity was calibrated during the 2005-2006 season. Residue at the at the site was about 0.9 tons per hectare, 5 centimeter height, and then a little more residue during the 2006-2007 season. Fraction of surface residue covered was 0.5 in the Shaw model, and then the RZ Shaw computed it based on residue weight. And then the albedo value for the residue was 0.25. And then the models were initialized with observed soil temperature and water measurements. Evaluation of the model, we used the RMSD, root mean square deviation, which you're probably all familiar with, as well as the model efficiency. Model efficiency is the fraction of variation in measured observed measurements explained by the model. It's the disadvantage of model efficiency when using it is that if you don't have much variation in your observations, then it's hard to get a very high model efficiency, and we'll see that later. Air temperature and precipitation conditions shown here. A precipitation of 41 and 61 in the 2 millimeters in the two seasons. Very cold temperatures down to about minus 30 degrees C, and that's cold by any standards. And then jumping right into the simulations, here we have total water content. This is total water stored within the 0 to 60 centimeter profile. On the left here, we have the non-irrigated plots. On the right, the irrigated plots. Top, we have the 2005-2006, and then the bottom, 2006-2007. Very little variation in total water content in the non-irrigated site. You can see the effect of the irrigation applied to the irrigated site. The dash line here is the Shaw simulation. The solid line is the root zone simulation. And looking at the model evaluations, although the RMSD of the non-irrigated plot is lower than the irrigated plot, particularly for the 2005-2006, we have a negative model efficiency for the non-irrigated plot because there's very little variation in the observations. Looking at total water content, this is just for the 2006-2007, looking at the 0 to 15 amount water content, 15 to 30. The non-irrigated or the irrigated plot, we see a little divergence between the two models. I'm not sure why that is. Apparently, we're probably having upward migration of moisture simulated by the Shaw model, whereas the root zone water quality model here, or RZ Shaw model, is actually draining here. So maybe a lag in the soil freezing with the RZ Shaw model. Moving on to liquid water content, total liquid water content stored within the profile. We get the 2005-2006 was a little bit wetter, so we see a drop in the total liquid water content stored in the top 60 centimeters as the soil froze, and then it rebounds as it thawed in the spring. However, the 2006-2007, it started out pretty dry and not much water to freeze, so we don't have much variation in water content or liquid water content through the season. And then on the right here, we have the irrigated plots. A little divergence between the Art Shaw and RZ Shaw model. The RZ Shaw actually following the measurements a little bit better. And then liquid water content for the two depths. RMSD ranging from 0.009 to 0.1 up to 0.03 water content. And then model efficiency varying accordingly, 0.38 to 0.62. Soil temperature, RMSDs ranging from 2.1 to 4.3, model efficiencies 0.73 to 0.67. Again, divergence between the two. I think this is differences in the way that the two models handle the lower boundary condition. And then in conclusion, the RZ Shaw model provided similar or better goodness of fit prediction as the original Shaw model for simulated soil temperature, water content, and liquid water content. The RMSD total volumetric water content for the RZ Shaw model ranged from 0.017 to 0.05, and liquid water content ranged from 0.01 to 0.55, and then pretty good results for soil temperature as well. And then an additional comment, the irrigated plots had a higher RMSD, but also higher model efficiency due to the increased variation in the observations. This effect was a bit weaker in the RZ Shaw model compared to Shaw. Thank you, and if there's any time, I'll be happy to answer any questions if I can.
Questions, please.
You say in that slide that the differences between water's prediction due to the boundary condition, lower boundary condition, they handled. So, what was the boundary condition for root zone water quality and that RZ? What was the bottom boundary condition?
The two models took a little bit different approach in estimating the bottom soil temperature. Neither of them used observed temperature, I don't believe. I'd have to check with Zhejiang Li on that. Looking at them, I think perhaps the RZ Shaw may have used lower boundary temperature, although both. The two use a little bit different approach to estimating soil temperature at the lower boundary if it doesn't use the observations at the lower boundary, and a little hard for me to explain the differences between the two without throwing some equations up there and so forth. But the Shaw model uses basically a lag function of the temperature above it.
Thank you.